ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 7 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 27 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ ದ ಕಿಲಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಮನ್ ತ್ರಿಣವರ್ತ. ತಂ ಅಶ್ಮಾನಂ ಮನ್ಯಮಾನಃ ಆತ್ಮನ ಗುರುಮತ್ತಯ ಗಲೇ ಗೃಹಿತೇ ಉತ್ಸ್ರಷ್ಟುಂ ನ ಅಶಕ್ನೋ ಅದ್ಭುತ ಅರ್ಭಕಂ. ತಂ ಅಶ್ಮಾನಂ ಮನ್ಯಮಾನ ಆತ್ಮನೋ ಗುರುಮತ್ತಯ ಗಲೇ ಗೃಹೀತ ಉತ್ಸ್ರಷ್ಟುಂ ನಾಶಕ್ನೋ ಅದ್ಭುತಾರ್ಭಕಂ.
ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ವೇಟ್, ತ್ರಿಣವರ್ತ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಮೌಂಟೇನ್ ಆರ್ ಹಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಐರನ್. ಬಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಕಾಟ್ ದ ಡೀಮನ್ಸ್ ನೆಕ್, ದ ಡೀಮನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅನೇಬಲ್ ಟು ಥ್ರೋ ಹಿಮ್ ಆಫ್. ಹಿ ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ಥಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್, ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ಕುಡ್ ನೀದರ್ ಬೇರ್ ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ನಾರ್ ಕಾಸ್ಟ್ ಅಸೈಡ್ ದ ಬರ್ಡನ್. ಪರ್ಪಟ್ ಬೈ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. Trinavarta intended to take Krishna up in the sky and kill him. But Krishna enjoyed the pastime of riding on Trinavarta's body and traveling for a while in the sky. Thus, Trinavarta's attempt to kill Krishna failed, while Krishna, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha, enjoyed this pastime. Now, since Trinavarta was falling because of Krishna's heaviness, he wanted to save himself by throwing Krishna off from his neck, but was unable to do so because Krishna held him very tightly. Consequently, this would be the last time for Trinavarta's yogic power. Now he was going to die by the arrangement of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all my god brothers, devotees and his holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, wherever he is. So here we are on this topic where Krishna is about to kill the demon Trinavarta. So the present situation is here like this, where Krishna is now taken high up in the air by the demon Trinavarta, the pretext of killing him. But the situation is reversed. Krishna has become heavier than the heavy. Trinavarta cannot understand why. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, now he is going to die by the arrangement of Krishna. So Trinavarta was not ready for this particular situation. This is the beauty of Krishna. Trinavarta had come for some purpose. Situation apparently so difficult or maybe very impossible for anyone to come out of this, especially for people in the land of Vraja. Krishna reversed it out completely. Subsequent verse you will find how Krishna brings Trinavarta down on the ground and breaks his bone into pieces. So this is how Krishna does. Krishna takes any situation and makes it as a enjoyment for himself. Nothing for Krishna is difficult or unable to accomplish. Apparently, difficult situations also becomes a place for enjoyment. And Srila Prabhupada here brings about this particular point across, that how Krishna is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. That Krishna enjoys his pastimes. the nature of this living entity is that we also wanted to enjoy, but we wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna. That's how we come here in this material world. And we are trying out various means to enjoy this world. But the material arrangement is done in such a way that while we are trying to enjoy, the ultimate result is we suffer. We have to suffer. We apparently think that we are enjoying, but ultimately, you know, a person has to suffer. And so many means a living entity, designs to enjoy this material world. They can go to any extent. They resort to illegal means, you know, to accumulate wealth, or they want to engage in so many immoral acts that they can enjoy to the fullest. But nature has its own way to square off with the living entity. You know, once I was hearing His Holiness, His Grace, Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada's lecture, I was trying to wonder, how is it that somebody is enjoying externally and we say he is suffering? So this question was there in my mind, that you find that somebody is enjoying and enjoying and enjoying, and we hear from the lecture that he is suffering. So this was answered in one of the classes by Srila Prabhupada while we are doing deity worship, and there Srila Prabhupada mentions that we have to feel compassion for those who are enjoying. Why? Because ultimately they have to take another body. That means again the cycle of birth and death. So that means again that person has to undergo this suffering. Whereas somebody who has already undergone all these things and taken shelter of the Lord, for him there is apparently maybe suffering at this time, but then when they leave the body, they are going to be back to with Krishna. Nahyam Deo Deo Bajam Rinoke Kastan Kaman Arhata Vidbujamye Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Satyam Shuddhi Yasmat Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam. Now that you have got this human form of life, now don't spend it for sense gratification, which are available for hawks and dogs who eat stool. Tapo Divyam. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada once, Govindadasi, as you all know this story, that Srila Prabhupada walking on this beach, and he saw some men surfing in the sea, and he asked them, Gaur Sundar and Govinda, says, "What are these people doing?" He says, "Prabhupada, they are surfing." So Prabhupada did not understand what he is meaning. He says, "What is surfing?" He says, "Oh, surfing, surfers." And then Prabhupada just made a statement. He says, "They're sufferers." Because Srila Prabhupada was trying to bring in a point there where a person may be spending his life surfing all the while, but little does he realize that he is wasting this human form of life for nothing. And then he is going to suffer in this world. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 6th chapter, 26th verse, Srila Prabhupada in this purport mentions a very important point, that it's better to be a coolie by living a very honest life than to be a rich man by hook or crook. It's a very striking point to understand. Prabhupada is driving home this particular point that while we are having a propensity to enjoy, we may engage in so many things, but then there's no point in doing all this. He says, better to be a coolie. That means coolie means what? He doesn't have any money at all. He is just a very poor person, probably, toils the whole day and earns some living, daily earning. So he says, better to be a coolie and live honestly than being a rich man by hook or crook. So this really affected me a lot, because, when you are in the outside world and you have some means to earn, and sometimes you may try to get into the trap of earning by some dishonest means, which may be a possibility, because the world is like that. It sometimes forces you to do that. But then when I heard this, I realized that, how important it is for us to be so sincere and honest and not get carried away by so many means of dishonest way. Like I was just trying to share with some of the devotees, that, you know, for a doctor, probably whatever the doctor tells the patient believes. A surgery may not be required, but still a person may be told that, no, you need a surgery. And a person believes and he may spend his amount and you may get it also. And probably that surgery may not be really required and probably the patient may not be in risk also. But then really, is it of going to be any help to you in the future? So that thing really struck me. And then I was remembering Sridhar Koluvecha. Sridhar Koluvecha was trying to sell banana leaves. And where he was selling? He was selling banana leaves, a place where banana leaves, banana plantations are there everywhere. And still Nimai would come and Nimai would steal bananas from banana leaves from him. And he would not pay a single paisa to him. And Sridhar Koluvecha, whatever profit he would get, he would get some half for the service of Ganga and half he would have. That means he would, sometimes he would go hungry, he would not get any money for himself. But still he would do that. He would have a very honest life. And then Chaitanya Babu, that time, Nimai revealed, told him that one day I will reveal to you, reveal to the whole world what wealth you have. So here's, you know, he was emphasizing on that wealth of Krishna, Krishna consciousness that a person may have. And during the Mahaprakash Leela, he showed what a great devotee Sridhar Koluvecha was. So, as I was mentioning, that a living entity would like to enjoy, but then in the process of enjoying, ultimately he just only suffers. But that's not the way Krishna is. Krishna is called as Rasaraj. Rasaraj means he is a king of all rasas. When he enjoys to the fullest. Nobody can compete with Krishna. Nothing can come very close to Krishna. When Krishna has to play and when he plays any sporting game, that's like a world record. Probably nobody can beat Krishna in that. When Krishna has to wrestle, when he wrestles with Chandu Mustik, you know, he just does it so effortlessly. Anything he does. Boxing. One box he just hands over to Bakasura and finished. Shot put. He just, you know, took hold of Arishtasura and just whirled him around. He didn't have to, you know, exercise his muscles or go to the gym and try to, you know, practice. For others, to come to that level, they also have to suffer. They have to undergo so much of hardship just to come to that level of being in the Olympics or some, you know, world competition. But for Krishna, it's not so difficult at all, you know. Like a shot put. He and Balram just used to take Dhenuka Asur and all the Asuras and just throwing at an aim was directly on the trees, on the tal of fruits. Getting all the fruits down. So whatever Krishna does, he does to the fullest. When he has to dance on the hoots of Kaliya, the way he danced, nobody can dance like him. So, for Krishna, nothing is so difficult. It's just a very effortless way that Krishna does it. And that's how he does it. You know, it doesn't seem to him that he is actually making an effort. So, elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that, you know, Krishna is Yogeshwara, king of all mystics. So in this particular aspect of Trinavarta was trying to use his yogic powers. And here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that probably this would be the last time for Trinavarta's yogic power. Then Trinavarta wanted to, you know, show his yogic powers to Krishna by taking him high up in the sky and then maybe throwing off. But the reverse happened. Krishna became heavier than Trinavarta. So Trinavarta had to come down forcefully. And here the translation says that he could neither bear the child nor cast aside the burden. That means he could not even throw Krishna off. Or he cannot take the Krishna also on himself. That means a situation was a losing battle for him. He just had to come down. There was no way that he could do it. And Krishna was effortless. He just doing the whole thing. He was just enjoying. Yesterday Shyamananda Prabhu was mentioning in his class that Krishna wanted to have an aerial view of the whole Vraja. So who would take him up? That time there were no skyscrapers like we have now. But still, you know, like when Krishna wants to enjoy, he just creates. Like his holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning just 2 days back in a Sunday class, that Krishna desired. And you know, when Krishna desires, you know, and he has his desire right at a time when Trinavarta has to come there. So when Krishna desires, things happen automatically. Everything is arranged for the Lord. In the spiritual world, there are no demons where Krishna can fight. So if Krishna wants to fight, then he comes here and he fights. You know, he fights with the demons. And the demons are there ready to for him, enjoys. Krishna wanted to have a fight, so Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha came down. This is like an everyday leela, nitya leela. Every day Krishna performs this. So when the coward boys go with Krishna out in the forest, you know, these are everyday affair. They would play for some time, and there would be one demon would come to attack, and Krishna would just kill him, and then they would have a nice lunch. Like it's like an appetizer. So every day it was happening. Krishna performs his pastimes each and every day. We only know about few, but then Ananta Shesh said that he describes the glories of the Lord so much that, you know, difficult, he's still glorifying and still not complete. So Krishna performs so many leelas. So especially for us here in this aspect, Krishna performs this pastime of killing demons. For him it is just an effortless thing. And it's of joy for all his friends, because the friends know for sure that whoever may come, no problem, Krishna is there. Krishna is going to kill that person. They only know one thing, that just take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna is going to effortlessly do that, and they are sure that they are going to have a lunch after this. And a nice lunch, because they have enjoyed playing with Krishna, they enjoyed seeing Krishna just killing one demon. And then they come and then have a nice, you know, lunch. It's like that. So this is what is, you know, Krishna's pastime. Whereas when we do, it's not a pastime. It is called time pass. As somebody said, for it's time pass. But when Krishna does, pastime, you know. So as Prabhupada mentions, that, you know, out of his own will, Krishna comes just like a jail superintendent. When a jail superintendent, you know, he can anytime go into the prison house. He doesn't have to really, you know, take permission and can I come inside, knock, knock to the prisoners and say, can I come inside? No. Supposing someone comes, a friend comes, jail superintendent's friend comes, they say, just show me the prison house. Oh, yeah, come. I'll take you inside. So he can anytime, in the middle of the night also, he can just go inside and enter into the prison house. But the prisoners, they may think that, oh, this person also come, that means he's also done something. No. The jail superintendent can go inside and come out at his own sweet will. So Krishna is like that. Krishna, by his own sweet will, he just does his leela here. He performs his pastimes. And when he does this, he enjoys. His friends enjoy. Everyone enjoys. It's like that. So, as Krishna enjoys, you know, a sadhaka like us, we also learn lessons from Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna does his own leela, but then as he does his leela in this, you know, material world, we also get to learn some things. Like as a practitioner, we get to know so many things. So I was just, you know, had made an acronym for pastime, that how, you know, we can learn from as a practitioner. That P stands for purification. Like when Krishna kills a demon, you know, two things happen. When we hear these pastimes, you know, what are the benefits that we get as a sadhaka? Is one thing is that, of course, on one end, purification of that demon takes place, definitely. The demon doesn't realize that he is going to be killed or destroyed. But while he's being destroyed, he's also getting purified. But while you are, you know, hearing these leelas, you know, a person also gets purified of all the sins. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridantaschahi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surichitam. When you hear the Lord's leelas, then because Krishna is pure and because Krishna is absolute, So when we hear these leelas, we also get purified of all the anarthas that we have in our heart. So this is the first thing, that benefit. Second is A is absorption. You know, so when a sadhaka absorbs himself in the pastimes of the Lord, then two things happen. One is that he transcends the time factor. Normally we see that, you know, something which is very absorbing, we don't know how the time flies. When something which we like and we absorb, we find that the time is very short. But when something is not very to our liking, then probably we find that the time is not ticking away. But when somebody absorbs, like when we go for yatras, we see that, you know, someone is not oblivious over time. The time flies so fast. You hear for some hours and we don't have a particular time for lunch or probably dinner. You know, the things just go. Because when somebody is engaged in hearing about the Lord's Leela or engaged in glorifying the Lord, then what happens is that you transcend the time factor. Secondly, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when somebody is absorbed, he overcomes the fear of material existence. He is not at all, you know, oblivious to what's going to happen to him. That's the beauty of hearing. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that when somebody hears from a bona fide disciplic succession, this is in the second canto in the chapter, Questions by Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada is one of the purpose mentions, that when somebody hears in a bona fide disciplic succession, and when one is absorbed in hearing those, then one overcomes the fear of material existence. And that's a fact. Because when you don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, then so many thoughts come in your mind. There is so much of fear that comes, the unknown fear of unknown, and you sometimes become a little bewildered. But then when you hear on a regular basis, you really become fearless, actually. That's the beauty, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he would regularly hear from Gadadhar Pandit about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. And he would be so much involved into that, you know, and just get involved and ask him to repeat it again and again and again. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was asking these questions to Shukdev Goswami, and he was so much absorbed. You know, and in the second canto of this particular chapter, question of Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj telling Shukdev Goswami that I'm asking all these questions, now please tell me about it and don't worry about my exhaustion. You know, I'm not going to be exhausted. I have hunger, thirst, and I'm not going exhausted also. So that's when Srila Prabhupada makes this, you know, comment. He says that he overcomes the fear of material existence. And then S stands for satisfaction of the soul. So when a person listens to these leelas, then he becomes totally satisfied. The soul is satisfied. Yena atma suprasiddhati. And then when he gets a satisfaction, he no longer looks out for anything outside of this world. That, you know, when he's totally satisfied, just like a person when he's satisfied, you know, completely satisfied, then he doesn't like to, you know, engage himself in something else or for enjoying or for satisfaction. So he becomes completely self-satisfied. He is happy. He is blissful. So that's what happens when you are hearing the Lord's glories, unlimited glories. So sense of security is also there. And what is the sense of security? That Krishna is my only protector and Krishna is my only well-wisher. So when we hear these leelas and we get completely absorbed in hearing, then we get that sense of satisfaction of the soul. And the T stands for transformation of heart. You know, so when you go on hearing, our heart gets transformed. From selfish desires to selfless desires. And from ego to humility. So heart transforms, you know, for good. That's what happens. Like when somebody comes and goes on hearing, and when he hears regularly, then we find that slow and steadily then the heart transforms. The person who is somewhat arrogant at the beginning may find himself, you know, dealing in a very humble manner. That's a change that takes place. And when a person regularly hears over a period of time, then the changes definitely manifest so much in their life. So that also happens. Transformation of heart takes place. And I stands for inspiration. So when the transformation of hearts takes place, then you feel inspired from within yourself to serve the Lord and His devotees. That inspiration comes from inside. You willingly want to serve. You are, you know, ever eager to serve the Lord and the devotees. You have that natural inclination to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord's wonderful devotees and try to please them. So that sort of an inspiration that we get. And then meditation, M. So when we are serving the Lord, what happens is that, you know, we come to the point of understanding how the Lord is so merciful, how the Lord is so, so magnanimous. And that's the time when we just only cannot but stop thinking about Him and remembering Him and, you know, meditating on His wonderful activities. And through all this, you know, then what comes is spiritual edification or education. That we start to understand that what the Lord actually wants me to know from this particular Leela. Like when He's killing demon Putana, what does He try to make me understand through this Leela? How one should not behave like Putana? What does Putana represent? Putana represents false guru. What does Trinavarta represent? Trinavarta represents ego. So like that, we just learn through this particular, you know, pastimes, different aspects, from different angles, through different devotees, through different acharyas, we come to understand as to what this Leela actually tells us or educates us and how we can apply it in our own life. How, what we should not do and what we should do. So those things we come to know when we just, you know, get deep into those Leelas. Because Krishna has multi-purpose activities. He performs a Leela, but at the same time He makes us, you know, understand some things through those Leelas. So that's what Krishna does. So this is what, you know, a pastime is, that how it helps in purification. When you absorb yourself completely, gives you satisfaction, there's transformation of heart and inspires you to do services, and which you meditate, and then there is also what you can learn from there. So this is what the Lord does. And when Krishna does some Leela, it's, you know, it's Nitya Leela. Prabhupada mentions, you know, whatever Krishna does is Nitya, is eternal. And Prabhupada says, what we do is temporary. Because whatever you do, by the end of this life, finished. Everything is finished. It is finished before we leave this body, or by the time we leave the body. Before or at the time. Huh? Prabhupada very, very clearly mentions, ours is a temporary Leela. He says, because why? With our change of body, our Leela is finished. But Krishna's Leela is Nitya. Krishna's Leela is Nitya Leela. And then Prabhupada goes to explain why Krishna's Leela is Nitya Leela. Then he quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that, you know, gives an example of the sun. When a sun rises, and supposing if it's 6:30 here, you know, at any given point of time, there is 6:30 somewhere which is taking place. Supposing if it is 7 o'clock here, but there is 6:30 somewhere. Huh? That means whenever the sun rises, that time is there present at some particular place in the universe. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gives this particular example. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, supposing we are celebrating Janmashtami on this particular planet, tomorrow there can be Janmashtami somewhere else. Day after tomorrow in some other Brahmand. Like that, Krishna is born at some place in some particular universe. So every day is like a Janmashtami. And that's why it is called as Nitya Leela. So this is during the Hyderabad DT welcoming, DT installation that Srila Prabhupada was mentioning. He says, this is Krishna's pastime, Srila Prabhupada mentions. And Srila Prabhupada says that whenever Krishna likes, he can bring in Vrindavan and he can have his pastimes. So whenever Krishna wants, he can get the whole Vrindavan down here and he can perform his pastimes. And he says, do not think that this place, Hyderabad, is a place, you know, in this world. This is actually Golok Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada was trying to mention that, you know, this particular place is Golok Vrindavan because we have installed the deities and Krishna is come here and we are celebrating. So, you know, like that Krishna performs this Leelas at different places. Once His Grace Jananayas Prabhu was mentioning, Prithvite Achyate Nagradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Moranam. He says, in every town and village, my name will be spread. So he says, preaching is still going on. That means Krishna's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is still going on. Till each and every town and village is covered, the Leela is going to go. So when we have one temple opening here and temple opening there and, you know, some activities going on here, some center opening there, that means this is actually the Leela going on. Jananas Prabhu once was mentioning. He says the Leela is going on here. This Krishna's Leela is carrying forward. He says, Prithvite Ake Nagaradikam Sarvatra Pracharave Hoibe Moranam. You know? So this is what he was mentioning. In fact, you know, in the life of Srila Prabhupada, we find that, you know, that's why Prabhupada Leelamrit, it's Leela. You know, whatever Prabhupada desired, everything manifested. Whatever Prabhupada did, everything, you know, came up. Why? Because Krishna's pure devotee, and Krishna, just as he performs his Leela, he just does this through his pure devotees too. Like when Srila Prabhupada was very small, he performed Rath Yatras. Very small. His father arranged for a small cart for him, and then he had once an 8-day festival called All the Neighbors, and he performed a wonderful Rath Yatra there. And then he would also worship the deities. Radha Govinda, the Malik family, he would just regularly go there. He would have his own personal deities also. Then he would offer aarti, everything. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that I learnt Rath Yatra and deity worship from my father and book distribution from my spiritual father. That's Bhakti Siddhanta Sadhu Thakur. But when Srila Prabhupada, you know, started preaching in the West, the first thing what happened is Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, deities came there. And how the deities came also something wonderful. All of you know about it. That how Malati Mataji, once she went to a store and then she found this something made in India where huge, small thing with huge eyes. So she found something very attractive. She stole that deity of Jagannath. She did not know that Jagannath. And then Jagannath was brought in front of Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada saw this, he offered obeisances. And everyone was wonderstruck. Why is he doing? He says, this is Lord Jagannath. He says, did you see any two more? So Malati Mata is thought that probably he is asking for more. He says, yeah, many, many more. He says, no, something like this. Big eyes, another two. So she went back again and she got those two. And then that's how Jagannath Baladev Subhadra came there. And then he told Shamsundar, you know, can you carve out a 3-foot deity of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra? And Shamsundar Prabhu said, yes, I'll do that. And that's how the first Rath Yatra, the first deities they came in the West. You know, and they had a wonderful Rath Yatra. And we find that, you know, since then so many Rath Yatras have been taking place every year all over the world. And Krishna's Leela is going on in these places. And deity worship, like, you know, so many places. Prabhupada just, you know, installed deities of Gaur Nithai, Radha Krishna. So many wonderful Leelas about those deities also. Like Jananayas Prabhu was mentioning about how Srila Prabhupada was, you know, how these deities of Radha Madhav appeared there. He was saying that when Srila Prabhupada was touring in 1971 and he was going to different places with all his Western disciples, said that, you know, one big person, Dalmia, got 3 sets of deities. It's from the same, you know, mold. And there's one deity he sent it to Berkeley, one deity, pair of deities he sent to Boston, and one he kept with himself. You know, one came to be known as Gopijan Vallabh, one became Gokulanand. And these deities he would carry with him. So in Allahabad, when he went for Ardha Kumbh Mela, he carried the deity with him. Then he went to Gorakhpur. And when he was in Gorakhpur, that time, Prabhupada mentions, it's mentioned in Leelamrit, that, you know, Prabhupada first made everyone sing Jai Radha Madhav Kunja Bihari, which you always sing before the Srimad Bhagavatam class, all of us. So the first time everyone heard that Jai Mata, Jai Radha Madhav being sung there. And Prabhupada said everyone should remember this, everyone should buy out this. And on the third day, when he chanted Jai Rama, Radha Madhav and everyone were following that, Srila Prabhupada went into trance. He was explaining the whole thing. What is Jai Rama Madhav Kunja Bihari, Gopichana Vallabha Giridhavari Dhari. He was explaining the meaning of everything. And then, he just went into trance. He just could not speak. And then suddenly just some tears came from his eyes. Suddenly he caught up and said, let's chant Hare Krishna. And that's the time when the deities were named as Radha Madhav. The deities were given the name Radha Madhav. And then they came back to Calcutta. And then during the Gaur Purnima festival, they were brought to Mayapur for the celebration. And then they were supposed to go back to Calcutta. And that time Prabhupada said, no, let them be here. They should stay here. And that time there was no temple also. There was nothing there in Mayapur. Just a small thatched hut where Prabhupada and his disciples would just stay there. And that's the time where, Radha Madhav also entered there. They appeared. And Jananas Prabhu was saying that, he got an opportunity to serve the deities in that place. They were small 18 inches deities. And then Prabhupada actually then predicted. He said that, I want bigger deities. I want a huge deity of 5 feet 10 inches of Madhav, black, and 5 feet 8 and a half inches of Radha, white. And in 1978, when Jayapataka Maharaj met a devotee, very rich person, his name is Radha Pada or something, he just went there and then when he met him, he said, I had a dream yesterday. He says, in a dream, one sadhu came in front of me. He said, do you know me? He said, I don't know you. He says, I have come to your place and you had given me some money and I want to repay you. He says, but when I given something in donation, I don't receive it. He says, no, but have you not recognized me? So it's all happening in the dream. He said, no. Then that sadhu turned into that old figure and then he understood, oh, it's Prabhupada. So then, Prabhupada was right in front of him. He said, my devotees want something. They are in problem. So please help them. And that's the time when Jayapataka Maharaj asked him, whether can you sponsor for those deities? And he said, why not? And that's how those Radha Madhav big deities came. And it seems that in Jaipur, when they were carving the deities, the sculptures were carving, they could hear a very melodious sound when they were carving. A different type of a music was there while they were carving out. And Jananas Prabhu was mentioning that, as they were manifesting their form, the sacred thread naturally appeared on their body. And also the two tilak marks on the forehead, which naturally appear. So Radha Madhav has a natural sacred thread and a natural tilak on its forehead, So the Birlas came, it seems, in that place. They saw this deity so wonderful. And they said, we are ready to pay 1 lakh rupees at that time in 1978, 80. So they paid 1 lakh rupees. He said, we just want to give you this money, give those deities. He said, I will not give you. This is much more than what the ISKCON had paid or was supposed to pay for it. So then he said, we cannot give this because these are so special deities and we cannot carve out another deity like this. So then ultimately the deities came to Mayapur as Radha Madhav and then ultimately the Ashtasakhis came in 88 and 92, the four, which was even given by him at this point place. So this is how Radha Madhav actually appeared. In fact, when I was talking about Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra, I just want to recollect and maybe share with you something which is so nice to hear about, something quite inspiring for me also. So just 3 days back, I was in Pune and one of the fundraisers, devotee who is raising funds for the Pune temple, which is going to come up now, the deity installation is going to take place next year. So he shared one very wonderful aspect about this particular land. He was saying that when they were part of the, you know, land searching group, like, you know, where they had to find out land for the new temple. So they went through many places. They saw so many land and they're trying to find out if they can strike a deal somewhere, but they were unsuccessful. And then one day on Ashadi Ekadashi, this devotee was mentioning, on Ashadi Ekadashi day, it seems it was raining very heavily, evening, night. He was having some meetings, council meeting. And this particular agent came all the way from Talegaon. He said, I want to show you on land. Please come. I want to show you a land. And he said, you know, why I should come at this time? It's raining also in the night. He says, no, but still, come. And seeing the urgency, he accompanied him. In the middle of night, it was pouring. He saw the land. Nothing could be seen much, but he saw there is a mountain behind. Nice. And that particular devotee, in the morning, he had a dream of Jagannath. Jagannath coming out of the temple in Puri. He had never been to Jagannath Puri. He has never heard about that, or probably he has never read. He said he never read about Jagannath Leela on that particular day. So there is no way that a dream could come in his... come, you know, like that. But Jagannath was coming out of the temple, and the way he comes, the typical way. He says, first time he actually saw Jagannath coming out like this. So he revealed to his wife, and his wife said that, no, probably you might have read somewhere, that's the reason this is coming. Well, no, I don't know. Is it somewhere, this way that Jagannath comes? He says, yeah, this is the way Jagannath comes out of the temple. That was in the morning, and evening this thing happens. And then he comes there, he sees the place, and says, what is the name of the place? He says, Gokul Nagar. He says, Ashadi Ekadashi, Gokul Nagar. He says, Jagannath coming in a dream, and then mountain, it appeared like a Govardhan. He said, let's strike a deal, no problem. He said, okay. So he said, introduce us to the person who has the land. And the landowner is a Muslim. And he was quoting a much more higher figure. And they said, no, please bring it down. So they quoted something like, you know, 99 rupees or something for a square feet. But then this was much below the expectation of the owner of the land. So the deal did not go through, and probably it was stretched a little. They were trying to negotiate. After 4 or 5 months, after some few months or something, this person came. The landowner actually came, and the landowner is a Muslim. He came to him and he said, I want to tell you something. You come to my office. And the office said, I got a dream that on my land, there are many devotees in saffron are dancing on this land. And the best part of it is that even I am having saffron and I am dancing. That is what he was saying. He was saying that I found myself in saffron and I am dancing. Now this person is a very, very cutter Muslim. In the sense, like, you know, he has gone to Hajj 2 times. And is a very stout Muslim person. So he was thinking that, am I dreaming something? He is saffron and, you know, he is seeing himself also in saffron dancing, it seems. So he's thinking, is it that I am trying to, you know, am I chased to my own religion? What is that, everything? And but he says, one thing I decided that I have decided to give the land to you all. Because this is what I dreamt in this one. So this devotee told him that, he said, we are not sectarian. We just, you know, believe in Allah. Also, we consider Allah to be the name of the Lord, who is all powerful. And then he just, you know, spoke to him little philosophy. The person was very happy and the deal went through. And the land was given at a dirt cheap rate. That particular one. And how the money also came, that also he mentioned. Of course, everyone knows about it also. There's one person, Banerjee, who had leave his body and he said, you worship my deity Balaji, and whatever that flat cost, you can just sell it and use it. So with that flat which they sold, they got this particular property. And the best part is that he said one more thing. He was hesitant to tell, but I just said what all things. He said one more thing. He said, there's a police patrolling station very close by. And the police officer was envious of this, that we have got so much of They got so much of land, and probably he had a doubt that we are intruding, they are intruding on our property also, because there is a particular reservation, the police reservation land. So he was so much envious of the whole ISKCON that, but in the meanwhile, one of the police constable was regularly being preached to by this devotee. He was given regular prasad and everything. So he was trying to convince the police officer, no, no, they are nice people, they will never do like this. But he had still his doubts. So one day in the middle of the night, he told his person that, come, let's go to this and just we'll go and intrude on their property and then we'll just catch some people. At the gate, the jeep stopped because there was a big cobra standing there in front. And the cobra was just, you know, normally the snake would just slither away. He said he had to stop the jeep and the cobra was standing there. He was just about to hiss, that's the way he was standing. So this constable asked him, should we drive down? And the police officer said, no, let's go back. He went back, and since then, you know, nothing's happening over there. So now this is the thing which is quite astonishing, that something like this happening. Okay, so the second thing. After 4 or 5 months, when they got the land, his spiritual master conveyed the message to the temple president there. He said, Vrindavan Chandra is a principal deity, okay, but you should have Jagannath Baldev Subhadra also here, because we don't have any Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities anywhere close by, so we should install Jagannath Baldev Subhadra too. So this devotee had a dream of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra on that particular day when the land deal took place. And after 4 or 5 months, you know, he gets instruction that we should have Jagannath Baldev Subhadra there. So this gives us so much of, you know, faith and confidence that nothing happens by chance and it's all arranged. Like this temple coming up here, Radha Gopinath Mandir, you know, Prabhupada was just here, all of you know, and then he told Shyamachandra that we should have a temple here. And nobody at that time could imagine that there's going to be a temple at this place, because it was all like that day in the Prerana lecture, His Holiness Radhana Maharaj saying that we had a small quarter of this room, temple, and then there were classes, school, and so many classes around in this place. Nobody could imagine there can be temple in this place. But slowly the things happened. Now we have such a beautiful temple. And just 2 days back, during the celebration of His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu's 75th birthday, His Holiness Radhana Maharaj was speaking that His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu was the person who got this deities of Radha Gopinath. And the way he got the deities is something also very astonishing. All of you may be aware also. Like, you know, they wanted a deity. The devotee shifted here in 86. And they desperately wanted to have deities there. So they went to Jaipur. He was deputed to go to Jaipur and get the deities. Now, that we needed urgently. And Mahaprabhu, as a lawyer, he just went there. He just understood that, you know, he saw that they were already a set of deities which were carved, ready, for a temple in Gujarat, Vallabhnagar. So he somehow other convinced him that, why did you give these deities to me? Because that temple is, he called up the president of the temple, he found out when the temple reopening takes place. He says the temple reopening will be after 6 months. So he convinced him, a lawyer knows how to convince. So he convinced him that, you know, he will make another deity for you. Please give us this because we need it urgently. And somehow other convinced him to get these deities for us. You know, and these deities came like that. It was not that, you know, we ordered these deities. The deities are already there and deities came here and we have Radha Gopinath. And, you know, sweetest, we can say, the deities over here, that's Radha Gopinath. So, and Prabhupada, when Radha Madhav was there, Prabhupada was telling Jananivas Prabhu, that, you know, if you see Radha Madhav, the Radha is like this. You know, she is just offering to Krishna. So Prabhupada said, if Krishna is like this in a blessing form, sorry, if Radha is in this form, Krishna can anytime leave. But if Radha is offering something to Krishna, Krishna can never leave. You know? So I was just trying to see here this unique deity here, we find it's not one hand, you know, Radharani is having both the hands like this. offering to, you know, like Krishna. And once His Holiness Bhaktitit Maharaj, when he was here, he was mentioning that, you know, Radharani is in this pose. That means Radharani is offering the resultant, you know, results of all the devotional services that all of you perform to Krishna. Like this. So he said that a garland represents the collective devotional activities of all of you. And just offering it to Krishna, and Krishna is accepting it. So how can Krishna refuse that, you know? So that's how the deities here is Radharani. It's a very unique form where, you know, Radharani is just offering like this to Gopinath. So this is how the Lord performs the Leelas. You know, and then we find that now the preaching activities also go on. So many temples are coming up, so many centers are coming up, you know, like that. So it's like a Nitya Leela. The Lord's pastimes regularly go on. And we just have to only, you know, see them, observe, witness, and take part in those. That's all. What else we can do? Just let Krishna perform His pastimes, manifest, you know, course of time, and we just become a part of it. That's what we are supposed to do. And just marvel at the wonderful activities that the Lord does, you know. What I spoke about Pune may be one thing, because I went to Pune. Probably there may be so many other activities or things may be happening at different places which you may not know also. But we're just understanding that, you know, when Prabhupada mentions Nitya Leela is going on, everywhere there's, you know, activities going on. So Krishna performs these Leelas, and Krishna performs Leelas eternally. That's the way Krishna is. So that's why He is called as Anand Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. You know, He is the one who enjoys His pastimes. That's the way. Hare Krishna. Garantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shilpa Pad ki jai. Thank you very much.